Genesis chapter number 35, the book of Genesis chapter number 35 this morning, as we get into the Word of God and pray that the Lord will help us to be able to get off our heart what He has laid upon our heart. And as I go into this message, you may think, boy, Brother Hart, this isn't a typical type of Resurrection Sunday morning message, and maybe on the surface that is true, but I think by the time we get to the end of it, you'll agree with me, it's exactly what is needed for this hour. And so you pray that I'd be able to say only what God wants me to say. I don't want to say any more than what God wants me to say, but I do want to say everything that God wants me to say today. Genesis 35, as you are there, if the Lord allows you and you're able, let's stand together. Genesis 35, verse number 1, as we read a few verses of Scripture. The Bible says in verse 1, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hand, and all the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon all the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord God, for the opportunity to be able to stand and to proclaim your precious truth, the Word of God. Thank you, dear Lord God, for this dear church and Brother Munkowski, the pastor that you've given here. And Lord, even though we're not able to assemble together like our heart's desire is, I pray, God, that you would still allow your power and the Spirit of God to be able to come in each and every living room or wherever you may be, they may be watching. Oh God, I thank you that you are everywhere all the time. And so I pray that you would help us to proclaim your truth and you would get done what you long and desire to do. Bless us now, Lord. Thank you that we serve a risen Savior. Thank you that the tomb is empty. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we come to this passage of Scripture, we find out that Jacob is going to a place, or is now at a place that he has been in times past. The name of this place we find in verse number 1 is the name of Bethel. Now, Bethel is a familiar term to those that have studied the Word of God. In fact, we know that if we study names in the Bible and meanings of names, that we can come to the conclusion that many of you have probably heard it. If not, you'll know that the term Bethel literally means house of God. In fact, we see that if you were to study the etymology, if you will, of this word Bethel, you will find out that the word, or the part of the word Beth, meaning house, and E-L, the L at the end of the word, means God. We find that Beth, that first part of the word, is in other places in the Bible. We bring up the subject of Bethlehem. Bethlehem has that term Beth in it, which Bethlehem means house of bread, is what that term means. And so Beth meaning house and Lehem meaning of bread, we can find out the meaning of names by knowing the root words and the suffixes and all of that. And I'm not here to give an English class, because I know some of you kids that are at home that haven't been to school in weeks are just dying to get back to English class. I know you are. But we do find a study in the Bible that this word Bethel means house of God. In fact, we're not as familiar with names that have great meaning to them like they do in the Bible, because in this day and age, we usually don't put a whole lot of stock or thought into the meaning of a name when we use it nowadays. Now, of course, in the Bible times, when they named a place or named a person, they put a lot of thought into that. I mean, they named them because of the meaning or the surroundings of that city being built or the area being founded or the individual that was born. And so they don't put a whole lot of thought into it. We don't put a whole lot of thought into it nowadays like they did back then. And because of that, we don't have names like Zerubbabel. All right, we don't have names like that. Mala Shala Hala Hashbaz, and I'm sure I butchered that name. My wife is just not. I mean, I butchered that name, but some of those things. And they put the names together because of the meaning of the name. But I will say, in my life, we have four children. I introduced a couple of them to you a minute ago, and it was amazing how God allowed the names to be given to the children and what they mean. I introduced a little while ago my oldest son, Jacob, who did a great job singing just a little while ago. And if you study your Bible, we're going to find that out here in a minute, that the name Jacob means supplanter or trickster. Boy, did we name him right. I tell you what, Jacob, we did not know whenever he was born. We did not find out with our first child if he was going to be a boy or a girl from the ultrasound like you can. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, we did it with all three of our other children, but we didn't with that one. We had a boy name picked out and a girl name picked out. And whenever we found out he was a boy, we had Jacob, Thomas Hart, waiting in the wings to be able to do that. And so we named him Jacob. Supplanter, trickster. If there's anybody that is going to have a, you know what it is, we're quarantined, okay? We're in house, stay-at-home order. And so you're in a confined space for multiple long periods of time. Hey, welcome to evangelism. We have a motorhome we travel in. It's a lot smaller than the house in which we live, all right? Sometimes you're... Well, I won't go that far. But anyway, but there's times when little tiffs and little things happen among siblings. Come on, you can shake your head and laugh. You know what I'm talking about. And that happens. And most of the time we find out Jacob's in the middle of it. One way or the other, he's the one that's in the middle of it. And then we had our second son, Isaac. Now, Isaac, we actually found out what Isaac was going to be whenever we had the ultrasound, whenever he was going to be born. And the reason why is because we had all these boy clothes already sitting here, and we need to know if we need to buy more or what, if we need to buy girl clothes or what. So we found out that Isaac was going to be a boy, and so we had a couple of names picked out, and we landed on Isaac. And if you study your Bible, you'll find out that Isaac's name means laughter. Remember how that Sarah laughed when she found out that she was going to have a son by the name of Isaac? Boy, God got the last laugh at that one. He is 90 years old and has a child. Amen. Isn't that amazing? With that situation. But his name means laughter. And Isaac's our funny guy. Isaac's the only guy that I know of that can be standing perfectly still, standing here, no problem whatsoever, and just fall right to the ground. I mean, don't trip over anything, nothing. I'm surprised he didn't do it while we were singing a minute ago. But he does that from time to time. We'll be walking along, all of a sudden we'll look, Isaac, why are you on the ground? I don't know, I'm just down here. And so he's our funny guy. He has done, I could go on and on about all the funny stuff. So we were two for two with that one. We had no idea that we named him right. And then came Abigail. Abigail, our first daughter. Our first daughter. And I tell you what, my mom raised four boys. I'm the oldest of four boys, and she always said that she lived in a boys' dormitory. Even our dog was a boy too as well. I mean, she was outnumbered no matter how that she tried to do anything. And so whenever the first granddaughter came on the scene, oh boy, that girl is never going to be told no the rest of her life. I tell you what, I made it my mission to tell her no, because she's going to be able to get whatever she wants from grandma or grandpa one way or the other, being the first granddaughter. And whenever we found out that she was going to be a girl, my mom literally squealed on the other end of the phone when she found out she was going to have a granddaughter. Well, being the first daughter, Abigail's name means the father's joy. And I'll say it is a joy to have my daughter Abigail, and so it is the father's joy. And then we got one more child. God help us. We have Leah. Leah is 6 years old, and she's doing good just to sit still, is what she's doing. Leah, and I did not know what Leah's name meant, but here we were at a church here about a year or so ago, and somebody came up to me and saw the little banner that we have that we put on our CD table and saw all of our names and started rattling off all the biblical meanings of all of our names. I was like, well, hey, great. And then when he got to Leah, I was listening because I wanted to know what her name meant. Her name means something like gazelle or a young doe or a young deer. And my daughter Leah bounces everywhere she goes. She can't just walk in stride. She bounces like a gazelle everywhere else. And then we also found out that Leah has two meanings to her name. Not only does it mean gazelle or young doe or something like that, but it also means weary. And boy, we are weary trying to raise that child. I tell you what, so you pray for us. So we had no idea that God would allow us to name our children that came together with their personalities. But in this situation, we find out that Jacob and his family is going to Bethel, the house of God. So may I use that as an illustration about us going to the house of God? May I just say, I love going to the house of God. I love being able to come together. I tell you what, the last few weeks is driving the Hart family crazy. And not for the obvious reasons of being cooped up and everything. But man, we live our life going to church. We live our life standing on platforms and singing and preaching the Word of God. And even if we don't get up and sing, we like hearing others singing. We like hearing others preaching. I mean, we go to camp meetings. We go to jubilees. We preach revival meetings. We sing at revival meetings. And this was supposed to be our busy time of the year. And then, boom, it just all shut down. We weren't supposed to be at home. Pray for me, folks. I'm having to do yard work. Help me now. Come on now. And so usually I'm just wait till it gets so tall, come home like a down and go back out on the road again. But oh man, I tell you what, it's too much work being at home. I'm ready to go back out, but we're doing all these things and we're just beside ourselves. Why? Because this is what God has called us to do. God has called us to be at Bethel, be at the house of God. And I'm praying for the day when you, Grace Baptist Church, can come back together, not have to look on a phone or a tablet or something like that, not have to look on a TV, but you can come back and be at Bethel, the house of God. What a day that's going to be. That's, for all intents and purposes, by application, that's where Jacob is going. He's going to Bethel, the house of God. Notice that Bethel is the place where God dwells. Look at verse number 1. It says, and Jacob said, God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God. Watch it now. That appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. God had already been there. God appeared unto him. God was there at the place in times past. And Jacob wanted to go back to the place where God had been. And I like going to the place where God's at. Amen. I don't want to go just where there's an empty shell. I don't want to go where there's just going through the motions. I like when God shows up. Amen. I want to go to Bethel. Want to go to the house of God when God is home. Amen. We see that in this passage of Scripture. Not only does God dwell there, but we should dwell there as well. Look in verse number 1 again. It says, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there. Hey, when you find a good church, when you find a church like Grace Baptist Church that preaches the truth, that has a pastor that cares for you, pastor that loves you, that wants to see God move and work in Quincy, Illinois, you know what you need to do? You need to take your stakes and just put them in the ground and say, I'm going to stay a while. I'm going to hold up my pastor's hands. I'm going to get in with both feet. I'm going to do with everything that I can within my being to be able to help the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, when you find and you go to Bethel and you find that God is there, you know what you need to do? You just need to dwell there a while. You just don't be looking for excuses to get out. Look for excuses to get in. Because God is there. So we see the place, the house of God. But then I also want you to see the purging that takes place when he went to Bethel, the house of God. Look at the end, in the middle of verse number 1. It says, and dwell there and make there an altar unto God. Notice that the purging is going to start with an altar. And I'm thankful for an old-fashioned altar. I'm thankful for a place that you can kneel down and pray. I know you can pray anywhere, and I'm thankful that I can do that. I know that you can pray going down the road in your car. I know that you can pray sitting in your recliner at home, but I like being able to come to the house of God and being able to pray. Amen. I like being able to come and hear saints praying around the old-fashioned altar. Thank God that we can get purged and cleaned up around an old-fashioned altar. Notice that it says it's an altar unto God. It's not an altar unto yourself. It's not an altar unto the preacher. It's not an altar unto the deacons. Not an altar unto the singers. It's an altar unto God. That should be your focus. Your focus should be on Him. And when it's on Him, everything else will fall into place. Amen. We see that. So we see the purging starts with an altar. And then I want you to see in verse number 2, the sanctifying, in other words, being set apart from the perverse authorities that were in their lives. Look at verse number 2. It says, "Then Jacob said unto his house and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you." Notice he said, when they went to Bethel, when they went to the house of God, that they put away the strange gods. They put away their idols. You say, "Preacher, no problem. I can mute the mic at this point in the message. I can go ahead and turn the TV off and mute my phone or my tablet right now because I don't serve any idols. I don't have any statues in my house. So therefore, I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to worry about, you know, having those fat men statues that they have. You know the ones that I'm talking about? The ones they have at Chinese restaurants? You know, all the Chinese restaurants around our area are closed down. They don't even do takeout. I'm going through fried rice withdrawal, man. I tell you what, they got to get opened back up again. I'm telling you. But you know how you go into Chinese restaurants and you go in there and then as on the way out the door, they got that little golden fat guy sitting there. You know what I'm talking about? And the belly's always rubbed off and the head's always rubbed off because people put their hand on it and rub it on the way out. I ain't touching that thing. You know how many people have touched that thing, especially with what's going on in the world today? I ain't touching that thing. And you say, "Well, preacher, I don't have a shrine at my house. I don't have some room that I bow down to a statue every day, so I don't have to worry about getting idols out of my life." Oh, really? Because the New Testament talks about that an idol is anything that comes between your soul and the Savior. Listen to me now. Even good things by themselves can be idols in your life. Amen. I know I'm here in Illinois, but around where I live in Missouri, thank God they haven't closed the golf courses down yet. Glory to God. I tell you what, give something to do. I went out the other day. Now, they have some precautions that you got to do. You can't take the flag stick out. It's okay, can't hit the hole anyway, so no big deal. You can't take the flag stick out. You got to have a cart to yourself. Hey, you see the size I am. I only want a cart to myself anyway, so that works out fine. And so I went golfing the other day, and I enjoyed going out. Man, I got to do that the other day. Beautiful day. Got to hit that white ball, you know, and try to make it go straight, and, you know, never go straight. But you have to do all that type of stuff. I had a preacher friend that's died, gone to heaven, and he used to say years ago, he said, "I don't understand this golf." He called it cow pasture pool is what he called it. He said, "I don't understand this stuff." He said, "Even if I could hit that little golf ball and make it go where I want it to go, and if I went and found it," he goes, "that's a big if I could go find it. But," he says, "after I hit it, if I hunted it down and found it," he said, "the last thing I'm going to do is hit it again after I find it." And there may be some thought to that. But anyways, I enjoy doing that. And as much fun as golfing is, and that may not be, that's my thing I like to do. My second son Isaac's starting to pick up the game, and so we get to go out together and do some of those things. As much fun as I enjoy doing that, even though golf is not sinful of itself, if it gets between my soul and the Savior, it'll be an idol in my life. Some of you guys out there hunting, fishing, now, oh man, now you're going to turn me off. I know right now. I'll tell you what, nothing wrong with hunting and fishing. Nothing wrong with going out and trying to do all those things. But if that gets to be an idol in your life, that comes between your soul and the Savior, comes before your walk with God, comes between the house of God, that's an idol, friend. And when we come to Bethel, we need to get those things out of our life. You say, well, some of you ladies watching right now, you may say, well, good, he hit on the men real hard, golfing, fishing, hunting. Well, let me get you ladies in on this too. Let's bring up shopping, all right? My wife is going through withdrawal, okay? She is. She's going through withdrawal. I mean, she sees all the Ross stores that are closed down, all the Cato stores that are closed, Marie store. I mean, I know you can, what you can, you know, order online, but it's just something about those ladies like going through and like, no, I ain't going to fit in that. I ain't going to like that. Don't like that color. It won't make my eyes look funny. Some of you just like going and doing that, and you're going through withdrawal, not being able to go shopping. Hey, there's nothing wrong. Can't believe I'm saying this. There's nothing wrong with going shopping. Lord, forgive me for such a statement that I make. But nothing wrong with going shopping. But if that gets between your soul and the Savior, you put that ahead of God, that's an idol. Hey, when they came to Bethel, they put away the strange gods. What idols do you got in your life? What things that you have in your life that you know are not supposed to be there? They got rid of, notice it says strange gods. That means it's foreign things. Do you know there's some foreign things that children of God shouldn't have in their life? Things that are like the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those are our three enemies. And we shouldn't have anything to do with anything that resembles the flesh, the world, or the devil whatsoever. Well, preacher, it's just fun. I don't mean anything by it. Hey, when you come to Bethel, get rid of those strange gods. Get rid of those things in your life that are not supposed to be there so you can have the right relationship with God that you need to have. We see here the purging. Then I want you to notice also, not only the place of the purging, but the physical appearance that changed. Look at the end of verse number 2. Not only they put away the strange gods that are among you, but he says, and be clean and change your garments. Notice they got cleaned up. He says, and be clean. When you come to the house of God, you need to be clean. You say, you talk about take a shower? Well, I recommend that. Please do take a shower. But that's not what this verse is talking about. That's not what the application of this verse is talking about. Now, I remind you that 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Hey, we need to make sure that our hearts and minds are clean before God. Whenever we come to the house of God, when we come to Bethel, we need to make sure that we're cleaned up before God. Hey, that's something you don't hear preached on too much anymore. Holiness. We serve a holy God. Amen. And the Bible still says, be ye holy for I am holy. We need to be holy, set apart to the service of our Master. Not only did they get cleaned up, but look at this. Look at verse number 2. It says, and change your garments. You'll look different when you come to the house of God. Now listen, I'm not the pastor here, so I'm not here to be able to get on standards and wearing clothes and stuff. I leave that up to Brother Minkowski. He can do whatever he wants between him and God and that. But may I just say this? There should be a difference between God's kids and the devil's kids. May I just say that? May I just say there should be a difference between God? You say, what do you mean the devil's kids? The Bible says that when we were lost, we were of our father, the devil. But now that we're saved, we've been regenerated. We've been born again. And now we have God as our heavenly Father. There should be a difference between the devil's kids and God's kids. The Bible talks about, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. There's a difference. The Bible talks about man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Preacher, you said the verse. You said the word man, God looks on the outward appearance. But man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. See, as long as my heart's right, it doesn't matter what the outside looks like. Wait a minute. You're thinking of that verse wrong. Because we're not trying to reach God with the gospel, because he's the one that gave it to us. We're trying to reach the world with the gospel. And they can't see what's on the inside. They can only see what's on the outside. So it does make a difference what the outside looks like, because we're trying to promote good old-fashioned Bible, Holy Ghost religion, and let people know that there's a Savior that can save their soul and make their life different. Amen. I'll move on from that point because I can hear the daggers from the phone coming at me right now. I can feel it. The physical appearance changed. But then I also want you to see, number four, the power of the cross. You say, preacher, I get the other points, but how do you see the cross in this passage of Scripture? Glad you asked. Look at verse number four. Bible says, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands, and all the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. When you get cleaned up, and you get your sins forgiven, and you get all those perverse authorities out of your life, there's going to be a tree involved every time. Amen. It says that they hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And may I say that Colossians 3 verse number 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I'm glad for the day that Calvary hid all of my sins. I'm glad for the day that He washed my sins away. And that didn't happen because I came just to a preacher. That happened because I came to an old-fashioned altar, and I came to Calvary, and He washed my sins away. Amen. I heard a songwriter say, when Jesus walked out of that tomb, it wasn't empty because my sins were left in that tomb. And I don't know if that's good theology, but it makes me want to shout thinking about it. Amen. Thank God that my sins are gone. And Jesus paid the price on Calvary for me. Oh, when you come to God, when you come to Bethel, when you come to the house of God, the tree will be involved. That tree is called Calvary. I'm so glad for the day that Jesus saved my soul and He died for my sin. April 2nd, 1989, as a six-year-old boy, at the end of Butler Lane in Russellville, Arkansas, at 8:25 p.m., Jesus saved my hell-bound soul. I was the son of a preacher. I was a son of a good, godly mother, but I still had to accept Jesus for myself. The house is gone that we rented as my dad pastored in Russellville, Arkansas. There was a waterworks plant right next to it. I've looked on Google Maps that you can zoom in on it. The house is gone. It's destroyed. The waterworks took over the property. But hallelujah, by faith, I can still go back there. And I know the place that Jesus saved me. Thank God for Calvary, where He saved my hell-bound soul. Amen. Hey, may I say, when you come to Calvary, the cross will crucify your flesh. Amen. You won't want to do what this old body wants to do. You'll want to do what God wants you to do. Hey, not only that, the cross will correct your fancies. Your desires will be different. You'll have a desire to come to Bethel. You'll have a desire to come to the house of God. You'll have a desire to want to... You'll have a desire... You say, I mean, your neighbors probably think you're crazy. Say, why in the world? Your preacher don't know if you're in church or not. Your preacher don't know if you're watching online. I mean, after all, you could go do something else. You can go do yard work. I don't know why you'd want to do that. You can go do yard work. You can go to the lake. You can go fishing. You can do something else. After all, they want us to go outside and enjoy the fresh air and things along that line. So we could do that. You don't have to watch services online. You don't have to do anything like that. Hey, but you'll do crazy things when you get to Calvary. You'll get up in the morning. You'll sit there. You'll turn on the good news of Jesus Christ. You'll listen to the songs of Zion. You may even sit in your living room, have your hand go up and start waving a hanky saying amen when nobody else is around. You'll do crazy things. Why? Because your desires are different. Amen. It'll correct your fancies. And then the cross will coordinate your feet with His feet. You'll want to walk just like Jesus walks. You'll want to do just what He wants to do. I have the privilege of not only as I'm in full-time evangelism, but the Lord allowed me to get hooked up some years ago with a lumber company down near Mobile, Alabama, Flemington, Alabama. I helped build a website, southernwoodspecialties.com. JBT Incorporated is the name of the company that I'm with now, and God allowed me to get involved with them some years ago. And everywhere that I have been since I've left Florida, Alabama area in ministry, God has worked it out where the company there is very gracious to allow me to work remotely for them. And the salary that I get from them, the little bit of money, don't pay all the bills, but it's nice having a little bit to came to them every now and then. I dispatch flatbed trucks, is what I do. When they got a load of lumber ready to go, they let me know, and I go find a truck for it. Now, I don't physically go out and find a truck for it, but I make phone calls and emails and things like that. And so I try to find a truck for it and try to get a truck on it so we can get the lumber from point A to point B. And I've been doing that for several years. And so, because of that, my phone rings off the hook all the time. I mean, there's always somebody calling saying either there's a load ready or got to pick it up or there's a truck wanting a load or there's something wrong with the load and I got to try to help figure out the problem. And so, so how I answer the phone, because I don't know if it's a preacher calling me, wanting a meeting, or it's a business call, I always answer the phone, "Hello, this is Jeremiah, how may I help you?" That's how I answer the phone. It don't matter who it is, unless I see up with the caller ID who it is. That's how I answer it. So every time I walk around my house, "Hello, this is Jeremiah, how may I help you?" "Hello, this is Jeremiah, how may I?" I say it all the time. And since I do that all the time, it was one of the kids, I can't remember which one, years ago, they were in their room playing, they, you know, just goofing off with their toys, and had an old cell phone that they were playing with. And I came around the corner, and all of a sudden I heard one of my children put that phone, that didn't work, to their ear and say, "Hello, this is Jeremiah, how may I help you?" Now, their name's not Jeremiah. That's my name. But you know what they were doing? They were imitating their father. And that's what we should do as well. We should want to imitate our Heavenly Father. Why? Because we've been to Calvary. Because we've been to that place that changed us forever. Now, when God finally rids you of those things in your life that are not supposed to be there, I like the first words of verse number 5, where it says, "And they journeyed." When God frees you from those things in your life, move on for God. Don't hang around where those old things are, where those old friends are, where all those old idols are. Move on for God. But then I want you to see this. I've talked about Bethel, the house of God. And I'm thankful for the place. And we can come and meet together. Can't wait till we get back to meet together again. But I want you to see lastly, the person that makes all the difference. Say, what are you talking about, preacher? Look at verse number 7. Look at it now. "And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel." Now, wait a minute. We just talked about in verse number 1 that Bethel means house of God. Beth meaning house and El meaning God. But he called the place where he built the altar El Bethel. So this just isn't the house of God. This is now the God of the house of God. Here we are, Easter, Resurrection Sunday morning. And I would dare say there's probably a few more people than normal that are sitting in their house, tuning in to some services somewhere, and they're listening to the preaching. Why? Because it's Easter. Because it's Resurrection Sunday. And you know that on Christmas and Easter, you need to give God a little bit of time. May I say, it doesn't matter a whole lot if you come to a building just and call it a church. But if you go to a place where there's a people that have met the God of the house of God, and God has made a difference in their life, and God has changed them, and you get to meet with the Spirit of God, oh friend, that'll make all the difference in your life. You may come out of habit, you may be watching today just out of habit because this is what you're supposed to do, but I'm here to tell you, it's not just about Bethel, it's about El Bethel. It's not just about the house of God, it's about the God of the house of God. And I hope this morning you've not just made a trip to Bethel in your life, but you've made a trip to meet El Bethel, the God of the house of God. Oh, look what happens when you meet him. Look at verse number 9. "And God appeared unto Jacob again." Aren't you glad when God shows up again? Amen. I want to go to a place where God shows up again. "And he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him." Oh, we see that God shows up when they start honoring the God of the house of God. And we need some saints of God to start singing the songs of Zion, to start lifting up the good news of Jesus and get Jesus in the house. After all, Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 21, 22, somewhere in there, says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man open unto me, I will come in and fellowship with him and sup with him, and he with me." I'm glad when God shows up and we can fellowship with him. Hey, look what happens when God shows up. Look what happened to Jacob when he showed up. Look at verse number 10. "And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel." Hey, we already know Jacob means supplanter. Jacob means trickster. But when he met El Bethel, when he met the God of the house of God, he got a new name. His name is Israel. Israel means prince with God. He's no longer a trickster. He's no longer a supplanter. He's now prince with God. Hey, when you meet the God of the house of God, when you meet El Bethel, you'll get a new label. Amen. Thank God I'm no longer a sinner. I'm now a sinner saved by grace. I'm no longer of the child of the devil. I'm now a child of the King of Kings. Hallelujah. I'm now saved. I'm now a Christian. Not because I just went to Bethel, but I met El Bethel, the God of the house of God. Hey, that's not all that God knew. Look at verse number 11. "And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins." Number 2, he got a new legacy. He said, "Hey, Jacob, you're going to have kings that are going to be born out of you. You're going to have these kings that are going to be born into your family." And I'm glad when I met El Bethel, when I met the God of the house of God, he gave me a new legacy. You may be sitting there in your living room this morning and you may say, "Oh, preacher, I don't have the godly heritage like you have. I don't have a dad that's preaching, a mama that's praying. I don't have in-laws. I have in-laws that are pastoring. My father-in-law pastors up in Iowa. I'm thankful for him sticking by the stuff there in a little train town in Batavia, Iowa. I'm thank God for my mother-in-law that raised my wife right, so that way we can serve God together." Hey, you may not have that privilege. You may not have a family like that, but hallelujah, when you meet the God of the house of God, you can be the first one. You can start the legacy now. You can be the spiritual granddad. You can be the spiritual dad that says to your children and your grandchildren, "We're going to go with God." Hey, whenever you meet El Bethel, you get a new legacy. Amen. Not only that, look at verse number 12. "And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land." Number 3, not only did he get a new label, a new legacy, but he got a new land too as well. He said, "The land that I promised your fathers, you're going to get it." Hey, and may I say, friend, I'm glad this world is not my home. Amen. I'm glad I'm just a passing through. I'm glad, like we sang a little while ago, that's what heaven means to me. Hey, if something were to happen to me, if I'd get the coronavirus and I'd succumb to it and I'd die, if God wills that to happen, that's up to him. But hallelujah, I know where I'm going. Hallelujah, I'd wake up in the arms of Jesus. Hey, he said in John chapter number 14, "Let not your heart be troubled." Hey, in this day and age, we have a lot of troubled hearts. But thank God we have the promise, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." May I say, I got the Lord Jesus Christ preparing a place for me in glory. That means that Jesus is my interior decorator. Glory to God. Amen. Doing home projects right now. You're trying to add a room onto your house. You're trying to paint. You're trying to do all these things. You're watching the DIY network. You're watching HGTV. You're watching YouTube, trying to find out a way to improve your house. May I say, you can have all of that. I got the Son of God as my interior decorator, and he's preparing a place for me as we speak. Amen. I got a new land. all because, not because I came to Bethel, but I met El Bethel, the God of the house of God. And then look at the last thing. Look at verse 13. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. Number four, I needed another L word. He got a new lingo. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? It says that God talked with him. He got a new lingo. You said, preacher, you could have used language. Yeah, but you'll remember lingo a whole lot more than language. Amen. He got a new lingo. He talked with God. Aren't you glad that in these days of isolation, you can talk to your Heavenly Father? Hey, that doesn't happen when you just come to Bethel. But that happens when you come to El Bethel, the God of the house of God. I'm glad for the day that Jesus changed my life. And my life didn't change just because of a place. My life changed because of a person. And if you're here this morning, you're sitting there watching this, you don't know the God of the house of God. You may play church. You may look fine on the outside. But you don't know the God of the house of God. It's time that you come and meet him. Because he's the one that makes all the... I'm going to read this and I'm done. Ezekiel chapter number 33, just real quickly. Ezekiel chapter number 33. Read this and then we'll close out. Get ready to go into the invitation. I'm afraid in Ezekiel 33, this is where we are today. Listen to this. Ezekiel 33, 29, verse 30. Also thou son of man, the children of thy people are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses. And speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. That's what you're doing right now. You've come online to hear what the word that comes forth from the Lord. That's what you're doing right now. Verse 31. And they came, and they come unto thee as the people coming. Y'all look good on the outside. I know I can't see you right now, but you're sitting there, hopefully with your Bibles open, listening to the preaching, look like you're supposed to. And they come to thee as the people cometh. And they sit before thee as my people. They're listening. And they hear thy words. But they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their own covetous. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. You may be sitting there right now listening to me preach the word of God. You may see me, I don't know if you can or not, me up here sweating, sputtering, hearing us sing, and say, boy, it sure is neat. Sure is novel to hear the Hart family this morning. I'm glad you're here listening. But if you came here just to hear us and not to hear God, we can't make any difference in your life whatsoever. And I'm afraid, Brother Monkowski, we got people that when the church doors open again, they're going to come because they feel guilty. They're going to come because they know they need to. And they're going to come and they're going to sit on the pews. They're going to hear the preaching. They're going to hear the singing like old times. But God ain't going to change them, because they're going to go right out the doors and keep living like they've been living. You know why? They've come to Bethel, but they haven't come to El Bethel. Because when you meet the God of the house of God, that makes all the difference. I ask you on this Resurrection Sunday morning, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Has there been a time in your life where you have bowed your head and you have repented of your sins and you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you? By the way, the Bible still says he is the only way. It's not in a baptismal tank, although you should follow God in baptism. It's not in joining the church, although you should be a member of a good local independent Baptist church.
It's not in reading your Bible, although you need to read your Bible. It's not in praying, because it's not the prayer that you pray, but it's the one that you pray to. Have you ever said, "Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner"? You may have come to Bethel many times, the house of God. I'm a churchgoer, preacher. They ain't going to ask you that when you get to heaven. They're going to know. They want to know, what'd you do with your son? I'll say this and I quit. I heard a preacher say this years ago when I was a teenager, and it stuck with me to this day. This preacher said about salvation and about the gospel. He said, God the Father will treat you just like you treat His Son. If you accept His Son, one day He will accept you for all eternity in heaven. But if you reject His Son, He will reject you. And you'll spend eternity in the flame that never goes out, and the lake of fire. I'm not here to scare you into getting saved, but I'm here to plead with you. Have you met El Bethel, the God of the house of God? May we stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to give you a time for invitation. I'm going to give you a time to be able to do what you need to do right there in the living room. I'm going to have my wife play the piano after I get done praying in just a minute. And I want you to bow your head and close your eyes and let God speak to your heart. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to preach here this morning. And God, those that are sitting there in their living room or wherever they're at want to be able to hear me be able to preach, us be able to sing, I pray, God, that they would know what it is to know El Bethel, the God of the house of God, and not just come to Bethel. Bless now this time. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. She begins to play just a little bit.